Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Second Baptist Church, where we exist to delight in God, display His grace, and declare His gospel, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be reached at www.2bcmtv.org or by calling 618-244-1706. We trust you'll be encouraged and challenged by the message you're about to hear.
Well, let's take our Bible and turn not to the book of Psalms. I do love the book of Psalms, but we're going to continue to study God's word, looking at a different portion of the Bible, the book of Titus. If you would go with me to Titus chapter 2, and as you're turning there, just a little bit of background. When I was communicating with your shepherds a number of months ago about how I can serve you and how I can serve this church body and serve the shepherds as they teach the book of Ephesians. I think you're in Ephesians 5, if I remember seeing that rightly online. But the book of Psalms was chosen for that section of weeks that I was with you to teach the kingship psalms, the greatness of God, the power of God, the wonderful sovereignty, the undeniable sovereignty of God. And there's much more that could be said, but we came to an end of that. And with the affirmation and encouragement of your shepherds, I hope to preach, as long as I'm with you here on these Sundays from time to time, I want to preach very slowly and very carefully through Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 is a great chapter. It's a very practical chapter. I'll preach slow enough. You could probably memorize the whole chapter with me as I'm preaching through this. It's a wonderful chapter. It would be worth committing to memory. But each time that I'm here, we're just going to look at a portion in Titus 2 dealing today in verse 1. And then next time I come, we'll look at the role of older women. And then after that, the role of younger women. And then older men, younger men. It'll be a wonderful time together as we study God's word. But today, we come to Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Be not deceived that there's only one verse. I have plenty to say. I'm a preacher preaching on preaching today. And there is much in my heart that I want to say. But follow with me as I read Titus 2, verse 1. Then I'm going to skip to the end and read verse 15 as well. Just follow with me as we set our hearts upon God's word together. Titus 2, verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Skip down to verse 15. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And if I may ask, turn to one more place with me. It's only one page away. Turn back one page, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let me just read verses 1 to 5 because I think it again helps us understand the importance of preaching. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Logic on fire. Logic on fire. That's how Martin Lloyd-Jones defined biblical preaching. Logic on fire. Martin Lloyd-Jones was often known as the doctor. He was a medical doctor and a very successful medical doctor. But in 1927, Martin Lloyd-Jones left his profession to be a physician of souls. He wanted to pursue pastoral ministry. God had grabbed hold of his heart. God saved him. God delivered him. God gave him a hunger for studying the Bible, for teaching the Bible, for preaching the Bible. And he had a goal to snatch sinners from the fire. Lloyd-Jones preached 3 times a week in his congregation of Westminster Chapel. We have about 1,600 sermons from Martin Lloyd-Jones, and some who were there, who were eyewitnesses under the preaching of Martin Lloyd-Jones, described his preaching like this. It was the force of an electric shock. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, preaching is theology coming through a man who is on fire. Martin Lloyd-Jones would speak to preachers and he would urgently plead with preachers and say to them, you are not simply imparting information. You know, many of you might have a professor, maybe a lecturer, maybe you've been in a corporate meeting or something, just imparting information. That's not the primary job of a preacher, Lloyd-Jones said. You are not just imparting information, you are dealing with souls. You are dealing with pilgrims on the way to eternity. And then Lloyd-Jones said this, the most urgent need in the church today is faithful, fearless, powerful preaching of the Word of God. It is the greatest need in the world. It's the greatest need for our children. It's the greatest need for the next generation. It's the greatest need for believer and unbeliever. The preaching of the Word of God. It's like the milk that grows a newborn believer in Christ. It is the meat that matures the growing believer in Christ. But nevertheless, we need to grow in harmony with the Word of God. Let me flip it and say it like this. It's impossible to grow spiritually if you don't place yourself regularly under the preaching of the Word of God. Yesterday, we were out sharing the gospel downtown in St. Louis for a worldly event, and we were there. I can't tell you how many times people tell me, oh, I go to church. Oh, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I have a Bible. Yeah, but do you read it? What church do you go to? Do you believe in Christ and do you bear fruit in keeping with repentance? It's impossible to grow spiritually if we are not putting ourselves under the regular teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You're here. You say, I know that. That's why I'm here, gathered with God's people to worship Christ and hear His Word. But I want to ask the question, still by way of introduction, why should preaching be a priority in every faithful church? Why is preaching all that important? Somebody might say, well, we're living in a different time, a different culture. We don't need the monologue. You preach too long. You're too formal. You're too authoritative. You command too much. But why must biblical preaching be a priority? A couple of thoughts. Number one, to obey the biblical mandate. To obey the biblical mandate. God commands men of God who lead churches of the Lord Jesus Christ that He bought with His own blood, God commands them to preach. Second, preaching must be priority because it is God's primary means of saving unregenerate souls. The preaching of the Word of God is the primary, not the only, but it is the primary means that God uses to save people. Third, the preaching of the Word of God is important because it feeds hungry saints. If you're a Christian, you're a sheep. And sheep hunger. And we need feeding. And we need the right food. We don't just need feeding. We need the right food from our chief shepherd. We must preach the word. Every church should be committed to preaching forth because it models for God's people an accurate hermeneutic. So how do I read the Bible? How do I study the Bible? What do I need to observe? What do I need to know? How do I apply it to my life? All these questions can be modeled as men of God preach the word to the people of God. Another reason why preaching should be priority in a church, number five, is so that you can hear from God. I love telling my children, reminding my own heart, every Lord's Day, we get to hear from God. And I don't know about you, but maybe it's just the path that I run in, but we hear all the time, God told me. Well, what's the chapter and verse for God telling you? And yet, when we gather together, it's not that God doesn't speak. We're not gagging God. We're not quieting God. He does speak, but he speaks through his word, by and with his word. We want to hear from God. The preaching of the word of God must be priority to glorify the living God. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and he said in verse 13, until I come, I want you to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. This is the importance of what Paul wants for every faithful church. Devote yourself to the reading of the word, to the preaching, and to teaching and sound doctrine. But this is nothing new. I mean, even the Old Testament prophets would often come to men and women and nations and cities and kings, and they would say, thus says the Lord, I have a message to you from God. Jesus said in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of God is upon me to proclaim. That's what preaching is. It is proclaiming. When the Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, Saul became Paul, and he began going through synagogues and proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. Colossians 1, verse 28, probably one of the great purpose statements, philosophy of ministry statements in all the New Testament. Colossians 1, 28, we proclaim Christ, or him we proclaim. Admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Paul said in Colossians 1:25, I want to fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. I don't want to just fulfill the ministry a little bit. I don't want to just kind of fulfill my task. I want to fully carry out the call that God has given to me. And there's a little verse tucked at the end of the book of Romans. After all the theology, after all the practical implications of the gospel, in Romans 16, verse 25, Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And what that teaches is that believers are established. We are strengthened. We are fortified through the preaching of the word of God. What do you need to help you in the workplace? The preaching of the gospel. What do you need to help you at school? As you're interacting with your friends and your peers and your teachers, you need the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do you need at home as you're interacting with your spouse and your children, your grandchildren? You need the preaching of the word of God. It establishes you in the faith. And Titus chapter 2, verse 1 is going to lead us into a very practical but a very helpful study as well, so that we can understand what preaching is and why it is so important. So in this opening verse, Titus 2 verse 1, I want to give you three reasons why every faithful church should prioritize biblical preaching. Guess what? You're doing that. Keep going. Keep doing this. Keep praying, keep serving, keep supporting, keep attending, keep ministering in this church family, because there is the preaching of the word here. But let me encourage you with what God says right here in Titus 2 verse 1 to strengthen your resolve to biblical preaching. Why must the faithful church prioritize biblical preaching? Here's the first reason. Because of the urgency of biblical preaching. There's an urgency to this. Almost like, you know, if you're watching a TV show or something online and all of a sudden there's a breaking news that comes across the screen. There's something that happened. There's something urgent. I need your attention. That's kind of the idea of Titus chapter 2, verse 1. We live in a historical moment where the faithful preaching of God's word is so desperately and urgently needed. To use the language of Amos in the Old Testament, there's a famine in the land. Not for food, but for hearing the word of God. There's a famine. Many turn to entertainments, but God's people must cling to the revelation from God. Many teach errors, but we must hold to the truth. There are many who are tickling ears nowadays, but we have to teach the word of God. There are many who are focusing on man, but we must focus on God and what he did and what he requires of his people. Whatever else another person may have or not have, whatever other teachers may be around you in whatever area of life, it's almost like Paul is saying to Titus, but as for you, I want you to hear this. Do you see in verse 1, there's a little phrase, it's almost like the Apostle Paul grabs Titus by the collar. Almost like a grandfather or a loving father, but there's a very authoritative point here. My son, as for you, I want you to hear this. You can't forget it. You can't say, oh, I didn't understand. You can't forget it. You can't misapply this. You can't neglect it. You can't think it's not important. You have to hear this. But as for you, don't forget the context. May I just remind you, the very end of Titus chapter 1 is about false teachers that are creeping into churches on this island of Crete, and there's a tough ministry. Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 1, you need to silence them. You need to protect the church. You've got to protect the gospel. You've got to protect God's people. You've got to be a man to say this is right. And this is wrong. You have to be courageous enough to stand up to the false teachers. Verse 1 of chapter 2. But as for you, I want you to hear me. If there is one Micaiah, if there is one Titus, if there is one Elijah, we must give ourselves to sound doctrine, to biblical preaching, even if there are 400 false prophets of Baal all around us. And you know what? There are. You just go to YouTube and you Google whatever and they're everywhere. They're in your city, they're in my city, they are everywhere. And the urgent call of preaching is specific and timeless and clear. It's repeated through the word of God. And Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 9, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I'm under compulsion. You see, this whole point on the urgency of biblical preaching derives from that little phrase in verse 1, "But as for you." It's almost like a professor or a teacher in a high school or a university class saying, "Now, there's a lot of things that I could say that's going to be on the final exam, but you need to listen to this." Your ears perk up and you're taking down notes. You can't forget. There's an urgency to this. It's urgent because it's the message of eternity. It is about heaven. It is about hell. It is about Christ, the Savior of sinners. It's about brevity of life and doing good to men's souls through the delivering of God's word. May I just give you a very practical application point to consider? There's nothing more important in your week than being under the preaching of the Word of God. Jobs are important. Travels are important. Meetings are important. Emails are important. Travels and vacations happen. We understand that. But there's nothing that is more urgent, more weighty, more divine, more majestic than the preaching of the Word of God. It is urgent, it is needed, it is profound, it's always relevant, and it divides the faithful from the faithless. It divides the sheep from the goats. It divides the worshipers from the entertainers. We must preach the truth. Paul is saying, "Titus, I know ministry can be tough, and I know you live in a pagan culture." He did on the island of Crete, and we do nowadays as well. It can be hard. And you could look at the landscape, the ecclesiological, the American evangelical landscape, and think, how are we going to change this? How am I going to change my workplace? How am I going to change my city? How am I going to change my family? How am I going to change my school? How am I going to bring change? And God reminds us we must preach the truth and be devoted to the truth because God's almighty power is at work when his word is faithfully taught. We need the word. It is dire. It is vital. It is urgent. Verse 1, "But as for you," whatever you devote yourself to, Paul is saying, Titus is a leader of the church. You must understand the urgency of biblical preaching. What a thought. You know, as a father, I want my children to be under the word of God. There's nothing more important for them. As a pastor, as a shepherd, as a minister, pray for the congregation, your elders pray for you as a congregation. And they care for you and they want you here. It's not about numbers. It's not about the role. It's you can't be a strong, vibrant believer apart from the preaching of the Word of God. And so to desire the word, to put yourself under the word, to gather with God's people and say, "I want to hear from the Lord today." That's the heart of a growing Christian. That's the heart of a strong, vibrant Christian. It proves that there is life. I'm a hungry sheep. Feed me today. So not just the urgency of biblical preaching, but if you're taking notes, verse 1 continues because Paul is going to tell you, number 2, the understanding of biblical preaching. Oh yes, every church should prioritize preaching because of the urgency of it. Number 2, because of the understanding of it. It's not uncommon for someone to email me or catch me after church and say, "Well, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this teacher? Have you heard this guy online? What do you think about that podcast? What do you think about that author?" And it's hard to keep up with all this. I can't. But verse 1 is going to give us a helpful definition of what biblical preaching is. Of course, all over the Word of God helps support this. But we have to understand what biblical preaching is. What is it? There's a lot of people who claim to teach. There's a lot of people who claim to preach. There's a lot of churches out there that claim to preach. What does it mean? to have biblical preaching. Well, let's just gather our thoughts around this little word, precise. We want to be precise. We need to be precise. You want a scientist to be precise. You want your surgeon to be precise. You want your accountant to be precise. And you want your preacher to be precise. To be precise in handling God's word. I mean, if I just pull off a news story, I could shade it, I could add a little bit, I could take away a little bit, but that's the news column. If I were to give you an op-ed or give you a book summary of something, that's just man's opinion and man's work. But if I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to read God's authoritative, timeless, unchanging word, I, as the preacher, better make sure that I'm precise and accurate. Not lazy, not slothful, but I must be specific and precise as a spokesman from the sovereign one. What is preaching? Here's a definition. Preaching is a very exacting discipline. We must preach expositionally, which means it is taking the meaning of the Bible and presenting it entirely and exactly as God intended to convey it. Preaching is not merely talking. There's a lot of talkers out there. Preaching is opening God's word, and it is taking the meaning of the text and making that clear to the meaning of, making it clear to the people. Preaching is the proclamation of truth as it is mediated through the preacher. And that's what every preacher, that's what every shepherd, pastor is called to do. Some may vocationally give their lives to the study and preaching of the Word of God, but every minister, every shepherd, every elder is to hold forth the faithful word, to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict, according to Titus 1, verse 9. The duty of every faithful pastor is to understand what preaching is, to carry out the duty faithfully, and until that work of God is complete, he is to preach, he is to proclaim, he is to tell, he is to speak forth the message of God so that he can say, thus says the Lord. Well, where'd you get that? Verse 1. Well, where'd you get that? Verse 2. You can point to God's word with what you say. A faithful church that glorifies Christ is not a church that has a little bit of preaching, but it's a church that is grounded upon, it's standing upon, it's built upon the centrality of the preaching of the Word of God. You know this, and here's the obvious case in point here. Most of the time in your worship gathering is devoted to the preaching of God's Word. The music beforehand prepares us to hear the word. The prayer of thanksgiving, the scripture readings, they lead us to God. They direct our hearts to God. They prepare us. And then there's a closing song so that we can respond in our hearts to what we have just heard in the word of God. The high point of the worship gathering is not a show. It's not a concert. It's not entertainment. It's hearing from God. Hearing from God. You visit a church, you can probably figure out within 5 minutes if a place is a God-honoring, Christ-magnifying place. Are they going to focus on God or focus on man? Paul says in verse 1, if you look in your Bible, but as for you, I want you to teach what accords with sound doctrine. Maybe more literally, it's the word speak. Conversation, communication is intended here. I want you to speak. It has the technical reference to preaching because of Titus 1 verse 9 gives us context. The man of God should hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he can give instruction in sound doctrine and rebuke those who contradict. At the very end of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, I want you to declare these things. I want you to exhort and rebuke with all authority. When the man of God is up front, it is a speaking ministry. That's why James 3 verse 1 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brothers. Because there will be a stricter judgment for those who handle God's word. You're going to speak the word of God? You're going to speak forth the oracles of God? You must make sure that you are speaking truth. We read in the book of Acts, this is all over the book of Acts, the Jews told us, the apostles said in Acts 4, not to speak, not to preach any longer in the name of Christ. Acts 4:29, so the church prays, grant that we may speak your word with all confidence, the idea of preaching. Acts 5, verse 20, go stand in the temple and speak to the people. Go preach all the words of the message of this life. Acts 18:26, Paul is in Corinth on his missionary journey. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel in the midst of affliction. Preaching is by definition a speaking job. It is a communicating job. It is a job dealing with not just words, but God's words. May I just give you a really simple application point at this? At this moment, James chapter 1 gives you a great implication point. Because James chapter 1 will tell you that you want to be a hearer of the word and a doer. But right before that, in James 1 verse 21, well, how do I hear the word well? If preaching is a speaking, if it is a communicating message, a means that God has ordained, we don't want to come to corporate worship, as it were, with earwax that we don't even hear anything. We would clear it all out. Come humble, come prayerful, come ready, come with a cheerful, eager, expectant heart. James 1 says in verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The reason I mentioned earwax a moment ago is because that's the Greek word in James chapter 1. Get rid of all the earwax and receive the implanted word which saves your soul. You see, there is a great understanding that we need to have in verse 1. I want you to teach what accords with sound doctrine. I want you to speak. I want you to teach. I want you to give the truth. It is preaching. It is speaking. It is proclamation of the oracles of God. You see, speaking forth the word, teaching the doctrine is so vital because Paul says to preach the word elsewhere. Jesus talked about sowing the seed and trusting the Lord. James 1 says that we have to trust God to give the new birth by the word of truth as we hear it. So Titus, speak, teach these things that are in accordance with sound doctrine. Like what? You're in a place where you hear the sound preaching of the word every week. You're hearing the book of Ephesians expounded for you Sunday by Sunday. But what do we need to hear? What is this speaking? What is this teaching all about? We need to speak and teach of the triune God, that there is a great Father and Son and Holy Spirit, one God who is worthy of worship. We need to speak of the glorious Christ, how there is one Savior and one Redeemer who God has given for sinners. We need to speak of the impeccable life of Christ and his atoning death for sinners and his redeeming love by hanging on the cross and taking the wrath of God. We need to speak of the victorious resurrection of this Savior, the one who came and he bled and he suffered and he died and he rose from the dead bodily. We need to speak of the one who did not just stay in the grave, but he rose, but then he ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, guaranteeing he's going to come back again one day. We need to speak of the tender intercession of Jesus Christ. Right now, in heaven, he's alive and he's praying and interceding for all of those for whom he died. We need to speak of the soon return of Jesus Christ, that every eye will see him. He will come in the clouds one day. Teach. Speak these things. You need that. I need that. We need it every day. We need it every week. We need it every Lord's Day. That's why preaching the word is always so vital, because God then dictates what the man of God must say as he just preaches through the word of God. He can't pick and choose his favorite. He can't skip over the uncomfortable parts, but he preaches through the whole counsel of God. This is so vital. Back to Titus 2 verse 1. But as for you, man of God, in the ministry, you have God's precious people that you are called to shepherd and love and lead and care for. I want you to speak and teach what accords with sound doctrine. Now, why should every church be committed to faithful preaching? Well, number one, because you know the urgency. But as for you, I know there's churches that don't do this, and those in our culture that say, we don't need this authoritative preaching anymore. Let's move on to new things. No, there's an urgency. We know the urgency. Number two, we know the understanding of biblical preaching. It is to speak forth the oracles of God. It is to speak forth the word of God. And it is to speak it clearly as God intended. But somebody might say, but do I really need it? I mean, it's Sunday morning. I'm tired. I've had a long week. Is it really that important and that vital? And that leads us to the third reason why every faithful church should be committed to biblical preaching. Number one, yes, the urgency. Number two, the understanding. And now number three, because of the usefulness of biblical preaching. It's useful. It is useful. It's like a protection. It's most advantageous. It's most needful. Nothing is more worthwhile. Nothing is more profitable than to be under the sound teaching of the Word of God. And I get this from the end of verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords, here it is, with sound doctrine. Doctrine. Bobby Jameson has a little 9 marks book titled Sound Doctrine. And he says this, quote, sound doctrine is so crucial for life, for the life of the church, for reading and teaching the Bible, for holiness, for love, for unity, for worship, for witness. He says, like a good map, sound doctrine is eminently useful, so churches must be devoted to sound doctrine. On your website, Church Family, Second Baptist Church, on your website, I saw this morning, you have a statement of faith there. It's good, it's clear, it's well written, supported with scripture, solid. And then you have, this is really cool, then you have a theological distinctives page. That's great. We are a God-centered, Christ-centered, elder-led. We are reformed. Great, wonderful statements on your website. Here's what we are devoted to as a church. Why does that matter? Because it guides you, it guards you, it protects you, it leads you. Let me just say, doctrine matters. As a parent, every parent will get this. Every grandparent will get this. Everybody has theology. Even children have theology. The problem is the youngest of children that are born into this world with dad and mom's sin nature, that comes all the way from Adam, we don't have to teach them to sin. Their worldview revolves around me for a young child. It's me. I want. Oh, they're theological. There's doctrine there. It's just faulty. And that's why God gives parents and grandparents and a church and preaching of the word to shape doctrine. Doctrine matters, not just for young children. I'm using that as an example. But for all of us, we need sound doctrine. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we preached and so you believed. Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 8, that I am given this amazing privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have to preach what is most useful to you. And what is most useful to you is not five ways to build and have a better marriage. It's not 12 steps to financial success. It's not, the Bible addresses all of these topics. But what you must be about and what this church is about is the sound doctrine that is useful to your soul. And ultimately, the center of everything is the gospel of Christ. It's the work of God in sending his son to die for sinners. The work of Christ in coming, dying, being buried, rising from the dead, interceding in glory, coming back again. The work of Christ is central to every doctrine. It's connected to creation because the Son of God made all things. Apart from him, nothing was made that has been made. The doctrine of Christ is central to the doctrine of end times because he's going to come back again one day and he's going to judge the living and the dead. Sound doctrine is important for your marriage because it'll teach the men how to lead and love and serve well. Sound doctrine is important for us as we live our lives. Why? So that we imitate Christ and we follow him and we walk as children of light, not in darkness, in this culture in which we live. Sound doctrine is vital. Vital. What does sound doctrine do? Let's get a little bit practical and uncomfortable for a second. Sound doctrine, you ready? Confronts your sin. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing when the Spirit of God is at work through the reading and preaching of the Bible, when your sin comes up and you think, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I was so impatient. Oh, I grumbled. I was ashamed of you and I should have spoken of you. I had that opportunity and I didn't. Or whatever it might be, the Spirit of God brings his word through the reading and preaching of biblical truth and your sin is confronted. Sound doctrine is so important because it confronts our sin. It is also important because it unveils false doctrine. Well, yeah, but this guy online that I've come across, he keeps talking about this. Or he keeps setting dates for the return of Christ. Or he keeps talking about how God told him this. It's everywhere. Sound doctrine unveils the false doctrine. It exposes the sound doctrine. It takes the mask off of false doctrine. And also, sound doctrine is so important because it sanctifies in holiness. It sanctifies us. In every sermon, in every verse, in every paragraph of the Bible, you learn something about God. You can take that home and you can talk about this, you can pray, you can worship, you can rejoice, you can delight, you can celebrate this. You learn something about man, how sinful we are, how we must trust in Christ. We learn something about God's unfolding plan of redemption, to marvel at the wisdom of our great God. Sound doctrine. Verse 1, as for you, man of God, you must teach what accords with sound doctrine. That's why this is such a great thing. In a church like this, your Bibles are open, you're taking notes, you're thinking about God's word. When the pastor says, turn here, you hear the Bible pages, because that's good. You're going to the word. Doctrine must be biblical. The preaching must be textual. Sound doctrine must be believed. It must be believed. This biblical doctrine is so important. It's like a lamp to direct us. It's like a map to guide us. It's like a captain that commands us. Sound doctrine is like a shield that protects us. You ever been in a place where you've shared your faith with someone and maybe they responded in an unfavorable way? Maybe they mocked you. Maybe they insulted you. Maybe they made you feel like you were nothing. And they turned it not into a discussion about the gospel, but a personal attack against you. I've been there. You've been there. Who wants that? Who likes that? What's going to protect you in those moments? Sound doctrine. That God is in control. That God is sovereign. His word never returns void. That we must be like Christ and have compassion for lost sinners. Sound doctrine, yes, is a shield to protect us. It is a medicine to heal us. It's like a fortress that protects us from the invaders in this world. It's like a meal to satisfy us. Biblical preaching of sound doctrine will always magnify Christ. It will edify spirit-indwelt souls. It will save wayward sinners in God's perfect and sovereign timing. It will allow Christ to speak to his church from his word. It will guard the church from false teaching. It will protect us from false teachers out there as well. And biblical preaching and sound doctrine will instill zeal and courage in our hearts. Men and women, you're here, and you're probably saying, I know that, I know that. That's why I'm in a church that preaches the word. Praise the Lord. Before I close, what I want to do is give you a handful of very practical implication points. Okay, so you understand preaching. Okay, you're in a church that prioritizes preaching. Praise God. So what do I do? Number one. Pray much for your preachers. Pray much for your preacher. They pray for you. You pray much for them. Pray for your teachers. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for those who preach in this pulpit. Pray for those who minister the word in every ministry here in this church. Pray for them. Pray Sunday morning. Pray Saturday night. Pray with your family for your preachers and teachers. Number two, and this is related to that, number two, pray for your elder shepherds. Pray for your elder shepherds, because every shepherd elder is a shepherd, a carer of the souls of people, caring, counseling, ministering, helping, advising, guarding, protecting, sometimes reproving, and exhorting and correcting. Pray for them. Pray that they'll do this with joy, with faithfulness, with humility, with fidelity, honoring Christ. Third, a third implication point. What can you do? specifically for you, men and women, pray for a greater appetite for the word. When you come through these doors and you sit down in the pew and Sunday worship gathering is beginning, as it were, you want the oven of your heart already warmed to 350. So when the word goes out, it's ready to cook. You're ready. It's been there. And you want to pray for an appetite. You want to pray, you want to prepare Saturday night, Sunday morning. You're reading, you're praying, you're thinking. You know what's going to be preached next. You're confessing your sin. You're reading the passage. You're praying for the congregation. You are ready. And you come hungry. And you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Number five, another, four? I'm skipping in my notes, I have too many here. Number four, listen attentively. Listen attentively. When the word goes forth, we ought to listen attentively, meaning, God, this is for my good in your perfect decrees of what you've planned for today. And maybe you think, what's a sermon on preaching going to do to me? I'm a housewife. I'm a young teenage girl. I'm an older man. This is not my vocation. Why do I need to hear about preaching? But listen attentively. What does God have for you in every sermon from his word? Next, and let me just give you one more. Listen personally. Meaning individually, not, boy, I hope she hears this sermon today on submitting to your husband. No, you don't want to think that. Lord, how can I benefit from this? How can I grow? Lord, show me my sin today. Show me where I can honor you. Show me the little closet where I need to confess of my sin and turn from it in my life. Lord, show me how I can benefit from your word. May we long for the spiritual food of the word as a newborn baby longs for the milk of the word. I want to close with this. A man named Mark Stieg provided, years ago, kind of a clarion call for expository preaching. He said, "Through our preaching, the Lord changes lives. We are to be evangelists to awaken men to their high calling in Christ. We are to be heralds proclaiming the message of God to men. We are to be ambassadors calling men to be reconciled to God. We are to be shepherds, nourishing and caring for God's people day by day. We are to be stewards of the mysteries of God, giving men the proper word for their every need. We are to be witnesses, telling men of all that God has done for them. We are to be overseers, urging men to live their lives to the glory of God. We are to be ministers, preparing men to minister with others. And as we reflect on all the different phases of a man's ministry of the gospel, every single phase, the main importance of preaching pervades it all. What a task the Lord has given. Church family, you're in a place that teaches God's word. You're in a place that preaches sound doctrine. Don't forget to give thanks to God for the unspeakable gift that he's given to you here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is timely. It is authoritative. It is relevant. It is so desperately needed. And we pray that you would feed the people of God here in this church congregation. Feed them weekly. Feed them diligently. Feed them powerfully. Feed them through the reading and preaching and expounding of the word of God. Strengthen the elders. Provide for them a man of God to be the pastor shepherd in your perfect time and according to your perfect plan. We thank you and we praise you. for your word that you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We trust you were encouraged by the message you heard. For more information about our church, visit us online at www.2bcmtv.org or call us at 618-244-1706. And thank you for listening.